Tonight, convener of Fix the Country, Oliver Vomowo, and one other protester hospitalized while in police custody as the police fight off claims they denied the protesters medical attention. We are live at the courts where dozens more detained protesters have been waiting to hear their fate, whether or not they will spend another night behind bars.
Emancipate yourself, so emancipate yourself from mental slavery. Papa. I don't know how more.
Stop it. And otherwise, give me an arrest me coming back from church. I was coming back from mass. You guys arrested me. Give me my towel, please. My towel. No, give my towel. No, give my towel.
Well, there's pressure tonight for the Attorney General to get the courts to set the protesters free. But will that happen? We'll hear from the Deputy Attorney General. Top Story is always brought to you by Telecel, connecting energies and holding insecticide spray and coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Tonight, the convener of the Fix the Country movement, Oliver Vomowo, and one other protester have been hospitalized while in police custody following the arrest by the police for engaging in unlawful assembly. The police tonight have been fighting off claims they denied protesters medical attention. More on that shortly. But first, I want to take you live to the court where lawyers of dozens more detained protesters are attempting once more to secure bail for their clients. The protesters will shortly hear their fate, whether or not they will spend another night behind bars. My colleague Kenneth Jesse joins me live now with the very latest. Kenneth, has the court delivered its decision?
Well, Evan, the court is yet to deliver its decision. And if anyone followed the proceedings yesterday, it ended earlier yesterday than it has dragged today. That is simply because, unlike yesterday, where you had about one lawyer representing like eight people, today you have individual lawyers representing individual protesters. You can also have at least one lawyer representing about two of them. So they've all presented their cases to the judge, hoping to secure bail for their client. It is one of the reasons why, as of now, the verdict has not been pronounced.
And Kenneth, state prosecutors today got a chance to formally serve lawyers of the accused persons. What more do we know about this and their reasons for wanting to keep the protesters behind bars?
Well, one of the lawyers brought to the attention of the judge that essential matters on record, and he said that since the arrest of the accused persons, they have not been allowed by the police to conference with any of the accused persons. And he prayed the court that on the basis of that, the judge exercises his discretion to stand down this case and grant them some conference with their clients. And they were formally presented with their charges, which included unlawful assembly, assault on public officers, damage to properties, and so on. Now, when they were presented with their charges, they wanted the police to excuse them, but the police officer said, no, you are in possession of accused persons. We cannot excuse you. So the police refused to leave the courtroom when they wanted their conference with their client, and they were formally served with the charges that have been leveled against their client by the state prosecutor.
But have we learned anything more about the state's case in this and why they're resisting bail for these protesters?
Well, the state is resisting a bail for these clients because they've mentioned that, for example, they are part of people who deliberately decided to obstruct public peace, and also are part of a group of demonstrators who assembled unlawfully at places that they were not designated to be. The state prosecutor brought the court injunction, which the police secured a month ago, preventing them from assembling at places that they were not supposed to. And according to the state prosecutor, they ended up gathering at those places which were designated as a no-go zone between the 21st of September and the 23rd of September. So these are some of the reasons why the state prosecutor is arguing her case that these people should be kept behind bars until an adjourned date is reached.
And we understand there's a case of one prominent protester who was arrested but may not have been listed as an accused person.
Yes, that person is Felicity Nelson, who is a 34-year-old journalist. And then the lawyer argued the case that when she was arrested, it was about 3 days ago that she was arrested. She was not charged, so they do not understand why she has not been listed as an accused person. However, when the lawyers sought conference with all the accused people, including Felicity Nelson, it was agreed by the court that she is now officially listed as an accused person. And the lawyer for that particular woman pleaded with the court to grant her bail because, one, they say that she has a fixed place of abode. So if she's granted bail, there's no way that she's going to run away. Also, she has a teenage son and they live alone. And in her absence, she has no idea what will happen to her son. And she, the lawyer also asked why such a person of substance will run away. In fact, both of her parents are in court, and the lawyer argued that her parents are people of high substance and that her father is a respected senior retired public officer who is ready to meet the bail conditions that will be decided by the court. So there is no reason to keep Felicity Nelson, who a few minutes ago was not even listed as an accused person.
And how many protesters were brought to court today?
Well, we have 11 protesters. Originally, they were supposed to be 11. They were supposed to be 13, sorry, led by the lead convener of the group, Oliver Bakabomowo, and another person called Fanny Otu. But unfortunately, the police earlier released a statement that both gentlemen had taken ill. Now, Fanny Otu was taken ill yesterday, and Fanny was supposed to be part of the group that were presented in court yesterday. Oliver, we understand, was also taken ill yesterday. But as we speak now, they say that they are receiving medical care in the police hospital. Now, the state prosecutor wanted judgment to be passed in the absence of these two people, but their lawyers argued that no, since they are not feeling well, at least let's give them some time. And the judge also agreed that time should be given for them to recover. In the end, the state prosecutor also came to an agreement with the court that yes, we should hold on for them to get better. So we should adjourn their judgment for them to get better and be presented before the court when the court is able to identify that they are indeed fit to stand trial.
And thank you very much. We'll come to you for the update once the court delivers its decision on the back of the appeals tonight by lawyers of the protesters seeking to get the court to grant the clan's bail. And as you just heard there, Kenneth, talking about the police statement today, giving us clarity on the whereabouts of Oliver Vormawo. We understand now that he has been hospitalized together with another protester, and it follows accusations by his lawyers that he was denied medical attention. The police, they've been denying that. I'll get into the police statement pretty shortly, but we also got a letter that lawyers for Oliver Vormawo wrote to the police with a complaint.
Yes, Evans. James. Yes, Evans. So that letter has been signed by Justice Ramsay Esquire, and it says that, quote, "I will be grateful if you could promptly procure professional medical care for Mr. Oliver Mause Bakavomawo, who turned himself to your custody at 2:46 p.m. yesterday." That's referring to September 23, 2024. This request derives from the recommendation from a preliminary medical examination which was conducted on Mr. Vormawo after he was taken seriously ill earlier on the 23rd of September. Additionally, we find it necessary to bring the following to your attention: that one, the police medical care was not extended to Oliver Bakavomawo, and two, that the private medical care which we procured for him had to wait at the police station entrance for hours to be allowed access to him. And so those are the key issues they raised in that letter.
But we also then quickly had a swift response from the police, categorically denying the claim that have been made. In fact, the police tell us that they've actually given medical attention and both gentlemen are now in their custody at the Police Hospital. Tell us more.
Yes, Evan. So the bit of contradiction is that in that letter, they say that Oliver fell ill on the 23rd of September, which was on a Monday. But the police in their statement say he raised issues about his health on the 24th of September, which is yesterday, the late hours of yesterday. And due to his complaint, he was taken to seek medical attention at the police hospital in Accra. In fact, he was sent there in company with another detainee who also complained of ill health. And so the two have been sent to seek medical attention. They have been diagnosed and have been admitted to the hospital for more treatment. And so it is not entirely true that they didn't give him medical care while he needed so. That's according to the police statement on the matter.
And that emphasis there at the bottom, the police wanted to emphasize that quote, at no point in time have the police denied the suspects any medical attention. As you pointed out there, the timelines vary from what the lawyers were saying to what the police have on record. And they put this on Tuesday, 24th September 2024. That's when that's Vomawa in particular,
alerted the police
that he had a medical condition that needed some attention. And they, as far as the police is concerned, they granted that medical attention promptly. The other suspect in question is called Faniotu, whose case also was triggered on the same day, actually Tuesday 24th.
Exactly.
And the police tell us that they are giving all of them attention. We'll try and get a bit more clarity from their lawyers. As we understand now, they are neck deep trying to get bail for these clients, and so the court is still in session. Once that court closes, we should have some clarity for you on this. But there have been a few more developments on this particular front, and I want to get to that. The National Democratic Congress, they have a statement out also today on this, and we also know that a petition has now been sent also to Shraj by a group of lawyers. Let's start with that. What is it that the lawyers are asking Shraj to do?
They actually, this starts by laying the facts of the issues as they know, and also cited the conduct of the police in all of this, citing different sections of the Constitution as well as the Criminal and Other Offences Act as the police actions breaching some of those regulations. But they are demanding two key things. One, that per the precedent, they demand that the Commission for Human Rights and Administrative Justice commence an immediate investigation to investigate the allegations they have raised, and two, that a commission makes a finding and order that, one, the rights and freedoms of the protesters were violated, two, that the police's conduct, including unlawful arrest, unlawful detention without food, and violation of the right to counsel, amount to unprofessional conduct, and that the commission immediately takes steps, including legal action, to ensure that the violations cease and the police officers who took part in this are dealt with by the law. And so that's the demand
the
they are making from
that they've sent the petition
from Shraj.
To Shraj. But what about the NDC? They are making specific demands of the Attorney General.
They say that, quote, the NDC hereby demands the discontinuation of the prosecution of these protesters and their immediate release. The increased spate of illegal mining under the watch of the MPP pose an existential threat to all Ghanaian persons who have decided to protest against this menace deserve commendation and encouragement and not custodial punishment, as is currently ongoing. So an immediate discontinuation of the case in court.
Thankfully, we can bring in now Alfred Chinayeboa, who is a Deputy Attorney General, joins us on the line. Also weighing in tonight is Dr. Adam Bonai, is a security analyst, is a Chief Executive Officer of the Security Warehouse Limited, and Professor Kwejua Pejetia, is Associate Professor, School of Law, University of Ghana, human rights lawyer himself. Thank you, gentlemen. But I want to start with you, Alfred Chinayeboa. You heard the demands by the NDC that you should discontinue the case against these protesters. Your reaction?
Thank you very much, Evans. Yes, I've heard a statement from the NDC. The power to discontinue or to continue a case is vested in the Attorney General. We have not taken a decision to discontinue the matter. The matter was referred to as a prosecution. We started yesterday, then we are in court today. as and when we take a different decision, definitely the public will get to know. But as I speak now, we're not taking a decision to discontinue the prosecution of this matter.
And it, I believe from what I'm hearing and called from my correspondent, is the view of the AG that they should be denied bail?
We are in court in order to fulfill the constitutional mandate. In fact, the constitutional imperative for 48 hours. And so in court, our argument has been simple, that the police need time to do further investigations. But the decision to grant or not grant bail is with the court. Even if we even concede that an accused person is granted bail, it's not binding on the judge.
But as we speak tonight, you are objecting to their lawyer's call on the plea on the court to grant them bail.
The attorneys handled the matter are in court as we speak. And they are putting across our case. And I think at the end of the day, whatever the court says will be binding on us.
You talk about the police needing more time for further investigations on the matter. Considering the sheer numbers involved here and the fact that a lot of what we saw was live on television, the police themselves had a recording of this and they now integrate that into our protest. Don't they already have enough to get these individuals, if indeed they committed acts that were unlawful, prosecuted and prosecuted swiftly?
In the first place, none of the accused persons that we have put before court can be said to be guilty at this stage. They are all presumed innocent, even if you have video footage. And so if you have had a video footage, you still need to do extensive investigation. And so because they are not guilty, we cannot say because we saw a video, we should rush into prosecution. But I agree with you. In terms of having matters heard expeditiously, it's something that we all aspire to. And so if there's space for the matter to be heard expeditiously, why not? It's because it is the right of every accused person to have his or her case heard in reasonable time.
Yesterday, some of them were remanded into prison custody. I mean, considering how maturing our democracy is getting to now, for people to spend time in prison because they protested. Isn't that a bit taking us back to the early days when we tried to get this constitution to a place where we entrenched the rights of protest, which is really enshrined in there?
Yes, I do not want to go into the merits of the matter, but let me make this point. Every accused person, whether you took part in protest, whether you stole, whether you killed, if you are arrested, it is the power of the court to determine whether you are to be remanded or not remanded. And so whether you are remanded into prison custody or into police custody, you can say they've all been confined. And so if the decision of the court that the accused person be remanded to prison custody, that is the decision of the court. And it's part of our legal architecture. Unless we are saying that we should do away with remand and that so far as you are arrested, you should be granted bail without even the necessity of the court inquiring whether you should be granted bail or not. It's part of our laws, and this is not the first time that people have been arrested and remanded. And I don't think that it's because they protested simply that they are being held. I mean, you know the facts. You've read the charge sheet, and you know the specific areas that the state is looking at. Every citizen has the right to protest, to demonstrate, but you do so in accordance with law. As simple as that.
What do you say to those who will say that the state is using this case to teach them a lesson, but also to compel them and to subdue them into backing off future protests?
Not at all. Was it last week, people in their thousands took part in demonstrations on the streets of Accra. Were some people arrested? No. Why? Because they did it in accordance with what they agreed with the police, and also in accordance with law. And so if you want to demonstrate and you are demonstrating in accordance with law, if anybody decides to arrest you, that would be an infringement of your right to demonstrate. In this country, hundreds, if not thousands of people have taken part in demonstrations. It's only those who at times decide not to go by the rules who get themselves involved in trouble. This without prejudice to the matter, in this particular case. I'm making a general statement.
Thank you very much there. That's Alfred Chinayeboah. He's a Deputy Attorney General, and we're still waiting to hear from the courts what the court's decision is. I want to bring in Professor Akpeju Apejuchia. He's Associate Professor, University of Ghana School of Law. Dr. Adam Bonar is the Chief Executive Officer of the Security Warehouse Limited. And Prof, weigh in on this for me. You've heard how this has become a matter of national interest, but also some controversy around the way the protesters have been treated, but also some criticism too of the way the protesters themselves, some of them acted during the protests. Where do you stand on whether or not the human rights question is being dealt with adequately according to law?
Thank you for having me. Yeah, a number of human rights issues come up. Of course, the right to demonstrate is well entrenched in our constitution and backed by the Public Order Act. And so in that context, the demonstrators have the right to demonstrate. Now, other rights issues which have come up, which express some concern, include how they were arrested, the reasons for the arrest, where they were taken to in various police cells without notification to members of the family and to their lawyers, and the fact that some were brought to court without charges against them. These are all critical human rights issues as well. So it borders on the dignity of the person, right to a fair trial issues. So my question is, what is the nature of the offense such that they cannot be granted a bail? Of course, bail conditions are supposed to be directed by the court on an individual case-by-case basis. So it is not that we say that everybody should be granted bail. But what is the nature of the offense? Sometimes the nature of the offense and the circumstances surrounding it determine if a person should be granted bail or not. And if you look at the surrounding circumstances where these alleged violators were scattered at various police stations, were not allowed to be accessed by their lawyers and so on, they constitute various violations of the rights and dignity of these demonstrators. And that is where my concern is.
But it's one thing to protest, is it not? Which obviously is a constitutional right. But then you have to protest lawfully nonetheless. And the arrest that has happened and the detention isn't because they protested necessarily. If you look at the charge sheet, it's because they did so unlawfully, as the prosecution is arguing before the court as we speak.
Well, probably I don't have all the facts, but I don't know where the allegation of protesting unlawfully comes in.
They talk about unlawful assembly, for example.
And I don't know what that means, because assembling is demonstrating. And so if they go on a demonstration, they are assembling. And so what is the unlawfulness about it? I don't know the details about it, so I may not be able to comment on that. But if it is unlawful, it could mean that they may have violated some laws, which include maybe vandalizing property or doing anything that obstructed the rights of other people to also go about freely within that neighborhood. I don't have the facts to speak to that. But that may be a situation where you can talk about unlawful assembly. So in any case, if the police have these facts and they can point to that the demonstrators engaged in any of these activities, of course, the police have the power to arraign them before court and to even ask that they do not be granted bail. But a situation where some are denied opportunity or access to a lawyer, they are not able to conference with the clients. They are not even charged, some of them, when they were taken to court. These are serious violations. And in the case of two people who had fallen ill by the police denying them access to a medical...
Well, the police, they have categorically denied that. If you issued a statement to say, as we speak currently, those two individuals in question, Vomo and one other, they're all receiving medical attention at the police hospital, and they did so promptly, according to the police statement. And so that
has been discounted, disproved by the police on that. But on the subject of the unlawful assembly, the prosecution have made two arguments on this. One is that the police secured an injunction against the protest at a particular place, and they didn't want them protesting within the vicinity of the Jubilee House because the police deemed that area a security zone. From the argument that we've heard in court, the police say that some of the protesters who have been arrested violated that particular, the terms of that arrangement, and that is why they've been picked up. Then we also saw the video of the convener who was demobilizing a police vehicle and throwing the key away whilst the police chased him down. A vehicle was also parked in the median, which the police wanted to tow away. I mean, these, according to the prosecution, you know, violates the rules surrounding protest and public order.
Yes. If there's an allegation of Oliver demobilizing a police vehicle, it's true. That is a violation of, it constitutes a criminal act. So certainly the police have to take action on that. Placing a vehicle in a place where it obstructs movement and so on could also consider a violation of the right to demonstrate. So on those grounds, yes, the police have to take action to ensure that order is preserved. So in that context, I would agree with the decision taken by the police. Of course, at the end of the day, it's up to the court to determine if a case has been well made by the police against the protesters in this context.
Grateful, Prof. That's Professor Kwejo Pejo, chair of the Associate Professor in the School of Law, University of Ghana. Dr. Bonar joins us right now. Give me your assessment of how the police have handled this.
Well, good evening, Evans. Well, I would say I would give them 8 out of 10. I say that because anyone who has been part of years back demonstrations, the police used to be found of bringing, you know, recruits from their training facilities who don't have numbers, who probably are still undergoing training, and then they will unleash them on you. They would be demonstrators, people. I mean, your colleague who reported on this matter whilst I was listening, in fact, got injured within the precincts of the police headquarters. But if you look at what happened, I monitored it. I spoke to some of the protesters on the day, from day one to the second day. I spoke to some police officers on the day, and I watched it, you know, live on TV and, you know, on social media. I would say the police handled it very well, where I would say they've moved away. Maybe I pray that this becomes a constant feature where we won't have the police, you know, using tear gas, firing bullets. Someone got his, you know, the eye damaged completely. Your colleague, you know, Latif got, he has a permanent, you know, scar. I mean, a permanent damage to his skull and all that. And others have suffered. I mean, the law students who were demonstrating some time ago were beaten, poured, you know, pepper sprayed on them. And so I would say that the demonstrators could have done this better by not doing some of the things they did. Because as we speak, the reason for which they were there, we are not discussing it. We are discussing Oliver, in fact, you know, going into a police vehicle and removing the key and throwing it away. And some have asked that, oh, so Adam, what do you think? Why didn't they arrest him there? And I say, no. For security reasons, if they did, there would have been stone throwing, pelting of stones, and people would have gotten, you know, varied degrees of injuries. And so arresting him later and arresting other protesters later was the way to go. I would say that remand shouldn't be used as a way of punishing people, but I think that as a society we should learn out of this and be very civil, because then anything could have happened looking at the way the demonstrators handle themselves. And prior to that, you look at about almost 1 million NDC supporters pouring out on the streets of Ghana, the whole country. And we didn't record this. And you have few people going, and we are this whole thing. And so the reason why they went on this demonstration, I would tell you, is lost on us, Evans. It shouldn't have been, you know.
And Dr. Bonar, thank you very much for that assessment. And quickly, as you know, another petition has gone into charge already on this particular matter. Timothy Selikem Donkor is one of the lawyers who penned the particular petition, joins us right now. Timothy, thanks for your time here on Top Story. Have you heard from charge already?
Yes, we've heard from Sago earlier that they've taken receipt of the petition and that they are urgently preparing towards a case management conference where they will invite lawyers from both sides and then the investigation comments.
But this subject is already before the courts and the lawyers are making the human rights arguments there. Was this necessary?
Yes, it is necessary. The court has been very clear in several cases that you can concurrently pursue legal action in court and all the administrative processes that are afforded you by law. Sirat is the institution that used to be the ombudsman under the 1979-1969 constitution. He used to play a very vital role in ensuring that constitutional rights are not violated. So the Sirat plays a very vital role in this conversation, in particular that their process is a little bit more expedited than the court process.
Timothy, thank you very much. Timothy Selikem Donko is a private legal practitioner and one of those lawyers who penned a petition to Sharj on this matter. The news night starts.